Hello, friends. I'm Sarah Stevens, and I'm so very grateful that you are joining me today for the Whispers and Wonders podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 2022 and season two of the Whispers and Wonders podcast. That's just crazy town to say that sentence, let me tell you. I never thought I would have even one episode, let alone enough that I could kind of call it season two. They're short seasons, folks, but there was a break, and that was last year, season one. This is year two. So I have loved it, though. I have loved sitting down with people and listening to them share stories about when they have heard a whisper, felt a nudge, or something like that, and then paid attention to it, and then see how it affected their lives. It has been an honor to sit and listen to them share their stories with me and ultimately with you. I hope that you have loved it as well. So I'm kicking off season two, episode one, with my dear friend Hannah Bussey. Hannah and I work together at our church, Blackhawk Church in Madison, Wisconsin. And she is one of the most beautiful, sweet souls that I know. Hannah has a way of making me and so many others feel at ease, and she exudes a sense of peace. She may not think that, as we all don't think things about ourselves that other people do. But for me, that is the effect she has on me. I feel calm and at peace when I'm sitting and talking with Hannah. I hope that you feel the same today as you listen. Listen, folks, we talked for a long time. I edited as much as I could out that I thought was too much, but it's still a long episode, but it's worth it. The wisdom that she shares with us and her vulnerability is beautiful. So let me introduce you to my friend, Hannah Bussey. Hannah Bussey, I am so thankful that you said yes to coming on Whispers and Wonders. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here with you, Sarah.
You're so sweet. So I know you. We work together now. I mean, well, we've known each other for many years, but now we work together at Blackhawk Church in Madison, Wisconsin, which is so fun. So I know you well, but many of my listeners, the people here, don't know you at all. So could you just give us an intro to who you are? Who's Hannah?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Hannah Bussey. I am 37 years old now. I'm to the age where I need to do the math. I'm trying to remember how old I am. I'm a wife to my husband for almost 15 years now, mother of three elementary age little girls who are just awesome. Yeah. And I'm a pastor, a worship pastor at Blackhawk Church. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, Sarah, have been there for about 15 years too. So I'm an artist. I'm a singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. I like to play and write and record music, and I love artists, and we have an artist community at our church that I help lead, and that is such a joy. So,
yeah, I see you as a developer of people too. In terms of you, I've seen you experience great joy in developing and encouraging artists to, you know, to work their craft, and whether that's write songs or do whatever. I love that part of you so much that it's not just you working on your own thing, but you tend to want to see people grow in their creative talents as well.
Oh, I adore that. I really love being able to see something in someone, see the seed of something, and then help them water that seed and give them spaces to grow and to play. And sometimes I'll throw people into the deep end a little bit, but it's been one of the thrilling things in my life to just be able to help give others, you know, that nurturing, help other people grow, help give them opportunities to share their gifts with other people. And yeah, I really love that.
That's so fun. I love that you say that you just throw people in the deep end. My papa, who I grew up seen so much when we were when I was little in here in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't remember, but I've heard stories that they lived on the lake, and there was a long, you know, as a kid, it probably felt like it was incredibly long. As an adult, it probably wasn't very long pier whatsoever. If you were scared about getting in the lake or scared about swimming or whatever, he would just push you off the end of the dock. So when you say that, I'm picturing my papa, you know, 5'8", wonderful human being, sweet older man, pushing one of his grandkids off the end of the dock.
Sometimes doesn't feel very nice at the time, right?
No, but probably, you know, afterwards, really gratefully did that.
That's right.
So you just do the same for different artists, and they're probably grateful after the fact. They need a push.
Yeah. Maybe not always grateful during in the moment. But
No,
I think I've had people thank me and tell me how much they grew from, you know, me kind of really strongly encouraging them to do this or that or the other thing. So yeah, that's something I enjoy doing when the time is right and when the situation is right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and your ability to discern what that time is always really sweet. I think you've learned that over time, which is so cool. What I think is really funny is I'm just going to share a little something about how we got to know each other better. We've known each other, but when we really started to get to know each other was the product of a little bit of a whisper for me. And so I think this is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And that's that way back, I'm really bad. You know, you're like, I need to count and use the math for your age. I'm the same in terms of I think it was 2014 when we did our first IF gathering at Black Hawk Church. Actually, it was before that. Mm-hmm. A friend and I, who also attends Black Hawk, we kind of did a quick pull together. Wow, let's just try this thing. And it wasn't a Black Hawk Church event. And it was a success. IF Gathering is this women's conference that happens, and you can live stream it. And that's a really long story and a really cool one. But what's really fun about the part that is you and I is that when my friend and I decided we're going to try to do this the next year and we want to do it like with Black Hawk, we started working with women's ministry. And when we were talking about like, how do we make this be something different and feel different than what we would normally see or experience at church, when we were talking about worship, both my friend and I at the same time said, Hannah. It has to be Hannah. And it wasn't, it felt very much like a spirit filled holy moment because there are, let's be honest, there's plenty of really talented people who serve and worship at our church. And so there's so many options and it's not, you know, it's not a competition thing. It just literally felt like such a spirit led that both of us, without even like, let's think about it, who would be good, what would we be looking for, it just came out of both of us. And I really believe that was such a spirit filled like, maybe a little bit more than a whisper, maybe it was more like a scream. But it was so clear that we, you know, that you were the best person to walk forward in this. And we had no idea at that point what the IF gathering would become and what it would be an impetus for at our church. But, and again, that's a story for another day, but I just think it's so sweet because that is when I got to start to get to know you so much more and watch you lead, ourselves in conjunction with another church that looked very different than ours through a really sweet time. And so I just think that's so fun that is, a lot of people would be like, oh, well, you just thought of our name. Yes, I just thought of her name. Mm-hmm. But I also just really felt like I didn't think of your name. I feel like the Holy Spirit said, oh, Hannah is who I have in mind for this. So I think that's just a sweet thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful
Wow. Well,
like, not only was IF Gathering wonderful, but beyond that, like, It's a treasured friendship at this point, so.
I agree. I feel the same way about you, Sarah, and I feel like I knew about you peripherally. I mean, we were part of the same kind of large church for a while. But I had never worked with you. I'd never seen you leading an action, and you have such amazing leadership gifts. I remember that very first meeting where we gathered women from both churches to start planning together. And the first thing that you had us do, I'll never forget this. We went around the table and everyone told our story. I forget what the question was that you asked the question, but you had us all share, what kind of brought us to this place. And people were willing to be very vulnerable. It was such a gift because people shared some really hard things in their stories. And I think we didn't really get to planning any logistics of the conference that night, if I can
I think
remember.
that's right.
But we left that meeting feeling really like we were for one another and we had a better understanding of one another. And I think that starting with that was critical for paving the way for what that conference became that year. And then what that conference became that year was critical for paving the way for what it became for the following years. And obviously, what it became then turned into, like you said, another story for another time, but it turned into something amazing that has changed the whole direction of our church community. And I think it's changing something in our city. So it starts from this small seed, though, of the way that I feel like you were probably very led by a whisper in that too, because I've used that now with teams that I've led. I said, before we get down to business, I would like us to share even just a piece of our stories, just to try to understand, gain some understanding for one another and build some sort of foundation of relationship before we start working on all these tasks together. I'll just never forget that.
It's funny that you say I mean, first of all, thanks. That's sweet. I had never really been in a leadership role. I mean, I like coming up with ideas and then letting other people do them often. And
That's so strange that you say that because I think of you as such a leader.
yeah, that's funny. I'm really happy not being in the leadership role. At least I have always been that way. And so that was something new. And I remember driving. So for people who don't really get the depth of what we're talking about, this is something that has changed like my life and many others in terms of really working towards understanding multicultural things and understanding racism more and understanding my privilege that I have as a white woman that I didn't understand before, all of these things. And it was coming in a time we started this pre George Floyd, pre other th and it, thank goodness that we had, because it helped so much to at least to teach me, and I think is teaching our church how to be a better multicultural like place. And anyway, but I remember going to that meeting, like on my way to that meeting, and our meeting was with a church that was predominantly black, and we intentionally did that because we I mean, because God, I mean, it was because of God. It wasn't like we sat down, my friend and I, we didn't sit down and have a meeting and discuss all the options. We came to a meeting and we both thought previously, hey, what if there'd be a really cool gospel choir on Saturday morning? That's where it started. And so that wasn't like, this wasn't the intent, but that's where we were landing. And as I was driving to that meeting, I was really nervous. And I kept like trying to think like what should the agenda be? I had a written agenda that I had like crumpled up at home and put in the trash because before I left, I thought this just feels wrong. It just didn't feel right. So I literally was like, okay, I'm just gonna fly by the seat of my pants. And I was on the way there and I was praying out loud in the car, looking like a crazy woman driving on the Beltline, which is like a highway around Madison. And just saying, I don't even know what to do here. And I remember, you know, arriving and parking and getting out and just saying, we don't know each other. That's where the nerves, where is the anxiety and the fear coming from? It's, we don't know each other. And so that's where we should start. Like, we just, like, how can we move forward if we don't even know each other? Like, so that's where it came from.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was, and that, that was not me. That was in prayer, you know, that, so to me, that was God. It was not me. It was not my leadership skills.
Yeah.
It was God.
Yeah. One other thing that I think was incredible. I love that story, Sarah, because it was also a last minute thing. I feel like sometimes, I mean, we're about to talk about whispers and stuff, but sometimes in my life, I get the whisper kind of in the nick of time, you know, like where I kind of have to wait for it for a while. It doesn't always come at the moment when I want it or wish it would come. Sometimes there's some patience involved for me and needing something for a while and not sure when the help is going to come, but then it comes just in time. One other thing about the timing of that in 2014 was, I think that was also the same year that Ferguson happened. And for me, that's one of the earlier times I can remember of just kind of racial issues, at least in kind of the recent years, really coming to the fore. That's one of the early instances. So, but we had already begun this work of planning this conference together, and then Ferguson happened. And I remember it just, for me, and I think for all of us, deepened the sense of significance of what the vision was of what we were trying to do. You know, how important it is to have spaces where we were coming together in this way. So, it just, it's amazing to me that you and the other leader, you know, heard this call, heard this whisper when you did, and just the way the timing of that ended up happening with everything happening in our culture and in our country at that
time. I agree. And the Ferguson, that was a national thing, but then this was like just as we started, I think it may be a month after we started, two or three more, I don't know, but recently after we started, we also had a similar incident in Madison. Tony Robinson was a man, a black man who was killed by a police officer. And it was just, there was so much unrest and division happening. For me, 100% God laid this in. He like set a plan in action so that we could better walk through things because we had relationship with a church that helped us to understand things in a way that we couldn't have otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like we should do a whole podcast just about this, because I'd love to keep talking more about it. But
yeah, we can maybe.
But I'm
that
not
would
sure
be
that's
really cool.
Not...
We could get a couple other people. We could have a group podcast and chat about the.
Wouldn't that be neat? I know. I'd love to have some of our friends who helped us lead that conference, who were helping lead the other church at the time. Yeah. I'd love to have their voices.
Me too. But me too. Yeah. Me too, indeed. All right, I'm pushing pause for a second. Do not worry, folks. I am going to talk with Hannah about Whispers and Wonders, and what she shares ahead is some really, really wonderful stuff. So hang in there. But first, let me say this. I really do hope one day to gather the women from that conference that were on our leader team together and share stories with each other and with you, because that experience was a blessing to me and to them, but I think it also could be the same for you. So that's that. Second, hang tight. Let me just share with you a little bit about anchor.fm, and then we'll be back with Hannah in just a few minutes. We are on the Whispers and Wonders podcast, and so I know that you have been thinking about times in your life when you have heard a whisper or a nudge or a wink or whatever it is for you. And so I'd love it if you would share a couple with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
As I was reflecting on this, the idea of a whisper, and I think different people might interpret what that means differently.
Yeah.
For me, I've been raised in the church my whole life, and I am a woman of faith, and specifically of Christian faith. Mm-hmm. So
Jesus, you know, Jesus is central for me. And the idea that Jesus isn't a dead guy, but that he rose from the dead and he is alive and he actually is in ongoing, like living, vital, back and forth communication and relationship, or wants to be with me. So that belief is weird for people who don't, you know, sit where I sit. Yeah. But for me, it's foundational for my life. Although I haven't always understood it the same way over the course of my life. I think as a kid, it was a lot more about doing the right things and, you know, kind of like classic religious behaviors.
Sure.
Going to church, you know, being a good kid,
yeah.
following the right rules, not sinning, not doing bad things.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it felt like to me as a kid. But I think as an adult, there have been beautiful new layers that I believe God has been kind of working into my heart and breaking me of some of the unhealthiness of some of that religious stuff, and really making it more about the relationship that he wants to have with me, and me resting in his love and acceptance of me instead of striving to be good enough on my own or to prove myself or anything like that. So
yeah.
It's really beautiful to me, the movement, the ways that God has worked in my life. But as I was reflecting about like early whispers, I think the earliest one that I feel was really distinctive for me was I was in middle school. I think I was in seventh grade. And I, you know, kind of classic middle school things. I was trying to fit in with this group of girls who were sometimes kind and sometimes really not very kind. And there was definitely a pecking order. And I definitely was not at the top of the pecking order in this group of girls.
Feels familiar. You
know, so I was always trying to like, yeah, trying to always kind of seek after, especially the approval of like the top girl or
yes.
two, you know,
yeah.
and trying to be accepted by them, trying to have them think highly of me. So anyways, and it was actually a group of girls from church.
Oh.
So we were on this church trip. These kids were all here. And, you know, usually if you're, you know, just going to a youth group night or something, it's maybe a couple hours of that. And then you get some release from that to go home and be where you know you're accepted. But over a weekend, you're there several days at a time. And I think I got to a point that weekend where I just was feeling so sad. Because I felt like I was trying and trying and it just wasn't working. I wasn't feeling like I was fitting in. I wasn't feeling like I was being accepted,
yeah.
you know, and just feeling really bad about myself. And I remember at one point we were at Devil's Lake State Park. We were camping. It was a camping trip. And I think at one point I just kind of walked away by myself just for a breather. I remember walking into kind of like a clearing, looking up at the hills and the trees that are there at Devil's Lake.
Yeah.
And hearing this kind of inner voice say, I want to be your best friend. And something in me knew that that was Jesus saying that to me.
Wow.
And it just really hit me in that moment. Like, I have a friend who's never going to leave me. I have a best friend who's always with me. And I have always remembered that moment, even though I'm not sure that it necessarily, you know, changed or fixed everything in that moment. But the fact that that voice spoke with such a tenderness and yet such a weightiness in that moment to, how old must I have been? 12 years old?
Yeah,
maybe
12.
A little 12-year-old
yeah.
Hannah, you know?
Wow.
Just saying, I want to be your best friend.
Yeah, I mean, Hannah. I don't think that fixed anything, you're right, but I think it changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a different place that you can maybe begin to start to operate from when you realize there is a presence there that promises to love you no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when there's, I mean, in the Bible, there's a verse that says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so I think to me, that felt like that voice was the friend that says, I'm going to stick by you. I want to be your best friend.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because it wasn't like, you know, very fancy or churchy or even very Bible-y type of language.
No.
But it was a voice talking in a voice that a middle school girl could hear.
Yeah, and don't you feel it? Like, that's really sweet. That's, of course, like, so for you, it's Jesus is that inner voice that you heard that day.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, God is smart enough that he's not going to talk to a 12-year-old, 11, 12-year-old girl in some very mature, you know, fancy, complicated language. Met you where you were at.
Right, right. So to me, I'm going to talk about other times, but to me, whenever I have felt the whisper, and it's definitely not every day or every week or even every month necessarily. Sometimes there are long dry seasons where I might not have a story.
Yeah.
But in the times when I feel more confident that I've heard it, I've always been struck by how gentle and how kind it is.
Yeah. Wow.
Sarah, we've maybe talked about Enneagram a little bit. Enneagram
yes.
has been something I've been learning about the last few years, but I believe that I operate out of this Enneagram 1 space most of the time.
Yes.
And one of the kind of like key things about Enneagram 1 is the inner critic, right? That you have a voice that's constantly criticizing everything you do and telling you what you could be doing better and driving you to make things better and improve not just the world around you, but yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, part of my growth process, even right now, even into my late 30s, is learning to pull out that voice and say, that's actually not the voice of God, or that's not the voice that I should be trusting, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I think when I was younger, I had that voice, but I sometimes thought that was the voice of God. Sometimes I thought, you know, in the church, we sometimes talk about Holy Spirit conviction, right? How the Holy Spirit
yeah.
can tell you when you're going down the wrong path
yes.
or something. But I think as a young kid, I thought, oh, this is it. Like, the Holy Spirit just thinks I'm doing things wrong all the time and that I always need to be better.
Well, that played right
but so
into
for me, the amazing.
Sorry, Hannah, that whole thing played into like what you talked about in your intro a bit about, you know, growing up in the church. But it was very much about like doing things, being a good girl and doing all of that. And so it's completely understandable that when you heard that, you know, there would be a chance that you would think that those things were of God. You should do
right.
this, you're not doing this well, you should do this better. There was a little bit of a, you know, that's confusing. It still can be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It still can be. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And you know what? But the thing that amazes me about the times when I feel more sure that I've heard that whisper, mm-hmm. or what I think of as the Holy Spirit whisper,
yeah.
is just the gentleness.
Yeah.
And the tenderness and the kindness, you know, how it almost feels motherly to me,
yeah.
you know, in the sense of, as we think about, you know, those of us who are fortunate to have mothers who are very nurturing and tender. I know that's not necessarily everybody,
yeah.
but just the kindness of that mm-hmm. and just the sense of, I am on your side. Like, I want good for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
to me, the whisper has always had that quality to it whenever I've been more sure that it was a Holy Spirit whisper.
Yeah, so, I love that so much.
Yeah.
The gentleness or tenderness. I'm sure it almost feels like, you know, like your body feels different when you hear that tender, gentle voice than when you hear the critical one also.
Yes.
I'm sure there's...
Yes.
A connection.
Yes. There's a verse in the Bible that says this. It says, the Lord is compassionate mm-hmm. and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I hear the voice, that's what it sounds like. It sounds compassionate and gracious and not angry and just full of love. So,
yeah.
Oh, I'm getting all
That's
emotional,
okay.
Sarah.
I love it, Hannah.
Talking to you about this.
No, don't apologize. So. Don't apologize. I love this. I think that I love that you have come to a point where, and it's not, you're not 100%, you don't do this all the time, but that you're able to discern and understand that, that God's voice and God's nudges and the Holy Spirit's whispering and all of that is abounding in love. It is not quick to anger. And so when you hear whispers or nudges that are not based in love, that are based in criticism, I think it's really sweet that you've come to a place where for the most part, you can hear them and feel them, but discern in the moment that is not of God.
Yeah, it's slow. It's slow work too, because I mean, I think sometimes that, that the way, the patterns of thought that we tend to follow from most of our lives, it's kind of like you're just wearing a rut, like you're driving the same road over and over again. Yeah. And those wheels are digging in, and they're digging these deep ruts. Mm-hmm. And it takes sometimes a lot to jar us out of those ruts and teach us a different way of thinking, a different way of processing the world and our emotions and our identity, you know? But
for sure,
I really think that for me, that's been grace of God, that I can tell that He is working on remaking and renewing my mind and remaking some of those patterns of thought, you know, and not just jumping to assumptions about which voice is the voice of God and which voice is the voice of the inner critic or whatever that might be. So
yeah, I love that. That's so good. So, I mean, so that was a great story from teenage, middle school, which none of us want to return to.
Hannah. Right.
What about other times that stick out in your mind where that same kind of thing or completely different? Because it's not always,
become
always exactly sounding the same.
Right. Okay. So another time that I remember just having an experience of kind of that holy whisper or that the tender, loving voice. It was another time in life when I felt like I was in kind of a dark space where I was feeling unlovable. Mm-hmm. It was my freshman year of college. So I'd come, I'd left my family home, come out to here at University of Wisconsin-Madison, doing my freshman year. I was having a good freshman year on the whole, but second semester especially, I started making some decisions in life that I really wasn't proud of myself for. Mm. Going down some paths that I wouldn't have thought that I would have gone down. And at the same time, I was, you know, part of our church here and doing that whole thing. But then I was also making these choices that I wasn't proud of in my life.
Sure.
And that I felt, ooh, this doesn't line up with good girl. Mm-hmm. This is not what Church Hannah should be doing on her weekend. but like I said, I was still involved with the church, and I remember going to they had a retreat for all their volunteers. And during that retreat, they gave us some, what they called alone time with God. It was just time to be in solitude and to pray and reflect, you know, and I'm sure they probably gave us a Bible passage or something, but
sure.
I came to that time with my tail between my legs. Mm-hmm. I mean, just feeling ashamed of myself and like, okay, I can guess how you must be feeling about me, God, right now. I am a disappointment and there's a lot of stuff between you and me, and it's my job to remove it before you can accept me back again think of me as good. You know, I was coming with all of that. So I had brought a journal and I started writing out and journaling the voice that I was hearing that was shaming me. I was putting words to that voice.
Okay.
And it started being this poem saying, you know, you're disgusting, you know, and you can say sorry for this, but you know, you're just going to go back to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're just going to disappoint God again. And, and I kept writing. It was like a stream of consciousness poem or journal entry. And all of a sudden another voice broke in to the poem. And it was a voice saying, no, 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 You are beautiful to me. You are perfect to me.
Oh.
I don't see you that way. You're in Jesus. You are covered by him. You know, the way that I love Jesus and how perfect I think he is, that's the way I see you.
Woof.
You are my beloved one. You are my daughter. And that voice came in and spoke powerfully in the poem and drowned out the voice that I had started writing in. And that journal entry, I went back and read it multiple times during those following years of college.
Yeah.
It ended up being something that in my own heart space, it reminded me, oh, whoa, I heard this powerful voice. And it wasn't a shaming voice. It was a voice of love. And it broke in at a time when I had not necessarily figured out how to stop doing these
Yeah.
things, you know, stop making these
Of
choices.
course.
It was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of it. I was so convinced that I was just a failure and a disappointment. And this voice came in and said something completely different. And pronounced a completely different identity on me.
And value.
And that's something, right? Something I'm never gonna forget. And the sweet thing about that was, I feel like it came out in writing and in poetry. And I love the arts and I love
Yeah.
writing. And the fact that in that instance was a vehicle for the voice to speak to me. So I feel like that's been another thread for me is sometimes in writing or in music or in journaling or that type of thing has been a space, you know, from that point forward where I feel like I've heard whispers, where I've heard that voice of love, where I've been able to settle into that more. So, yeah, that's a second story that was really meaningful in my
That's
life.
well, first of all, I had chills. I had like goosebumps at one point while you were, because I think if I had been a journaler ever in my life, if I had been
It's
somebody,
not for everyone.
no, it's not. I've gotten better, but if I had, I feel like I could have written those same exact things in college about myself. And man, to have heard that kind of a shift in my inner voice and the shift in the writing would have been, I mean, I'm only trying to imagine, I can't, but I'm thinking that had to have been such a profoundly powerful moment in your life at that point. Because the two, I mean, it was complete diverged, completely opposite of what you had been writing about
Right.
yourself.
That's yes. Yep. For me, that's another characteristic of the whisper is that it breaks in to the darkness with light. You know, sometimes it'll break into dark thought patterns, and then it'll just be like, oh, it'll be like, ping. Oh, that's something different. Like I hadn't seen it from that angle, you know? And that was definitely felt like that type of moment. But I want to emphasize again, it wasn't like after this my life was fixed and all of a sudden I never felt shame to myself
Of
again or felt
course.
like I was a disappointment or a failure. It wasn't like, oh, that, it wasn't like it changed everything in the sense of everything about my life and my feelings then changed. But it became a milestone moment in my life that I can look back to, and can ground me in what reality and truth is.
Yeah, and remind you when you have forgotten.
Right.
Then, I mean, so then, I mean, clearly you're saying that things didn't go back to normal and everything was fine and hunky dory, but then life happens and things go on and things get crazy and busy and you're a mom and all of that. Have there been any moments that are more like in more recent adult, mature woman who should, you know, I'm doing air quotes, should have it all together?
Okay, I've got a really recent one.
Good. Oof,
This
great.
one is like a month or two ago, something like
Awesome.
that. So, I think another characteristic for me in more recent years of the whisper is that sometimes I'll get the same message repeatedly from multiple angles. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, Sarah, but for me, sometimes it'll be like, oh, somebody will mention something in a conversation, and then all of a sudden I'll see it in a book or an article, and then I'll hear it on a podcast, and then it's just like the same thing kind of comes up multiple places, and it's kind of like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to pay attention to this. And so my recent example is kind of like that. So at work, you know, lots of people have been dealing at their places of work, I'm sure, with lots of staff turnover and that type of thing. And we're no exception. So we are in a hiring process right now for a position on my team, the team that I lead. And so I'm kind of at the helm of this hiring process for the first time. I've never been at the actual helm of a hiring process before. And so we were getting applicants once we'd posted the position, and I was reading through the applications and reading through their resumes. And the wonderful thing was, and I'm so grateful for this, we got a lot of wonderful applicants, like really well qualified people. We had a lot of great options to choose from. And on the one hand, I was so grateful for that. The dark underbelly of that for me was I was reading through all these people's applications and their resumes, and most of these people were my age or younger, and they were so impressive. They had done so many things. They had so many gifts and skills. Their videos were awesome. They're, you know, this is for a position that's a musician. So like their musical skills were incredible, but they had also like written blogs that were so deep and thoughtful, or they had officiated weddings and funerals. I've never done anything like that.
I see where this is going.
So I start reading through these applications. Do you see where this is going?
I do.
And I started feeling so insecure about myself.
Yeah.
I started feeling like, look at these people. Like, they've had less or, you know, it's certainly not more time than me on this earth, and they've done all this stuff. And I started feeling like, I started hearing this kind of darker voice inside that was, ooh, you've let yourself down. Or, oh, we expected so much more of you. You could have made so much more of yourself. Ooh, you've wasted your life.
That's hard, Hannah, to hear that.
Yes, because I felt like, I mean, when I was growing up, I was an overachiever. And so messages that you get as an overachieving child and adolescent are often, you're going to go out and do such amazing things.
Yes.
You know, my senior class voted me most likely to become famous, you know, and I took that as a, you know, fun thing. But also, I think there's a part of you that takes that as a commission.
Yes.
I'm supposed to go out there and do something significant enough where I could become famous. And if I don't, it's like, how did that happen? So it kind of just brought me to the, I mean, not that I don't even necessarily want to be famous anymore, but I want to do significant things. And I've always had the message, you're so gifted, you should make something of yourself that's really big. And so I was reading through these resumes, and it kind of caught me off guard, just this feeling of, you are not doing so hot here. So I struggled with this for a little while, but then So here's where the whisper came to me. Three different directions within the matter of days. First of all, there was a song that a friend on my staff team started singing and shared with me. The song was called Jaira, and Jaira is a word that means provider. It's a worship song about how God is the provider, and we can be content no matter what life might hand us, because God is enough. And because of that, he says that we're enough, and there's nothing that we can do, you know, that would impress him or cause him to love us anymore.
Right.
So I heard that song. To be honest, when I first heard that song, it didn't hit me that much. I'm like, oh, that's a nice song.
Oh,
But
that's
it didn't. Like, yeah, I could see how that person could like that song, you know? But it didn't particularly hit me. It just registered in my brain, but not in my heart so much. And then soon after that, a friend sent me a devotional for Psalm 73, a chapter from the Bible. And that psalm has a lot of things about envy and comparison and contentment. And so I read through that and I was starting to maybe get it a little bit. I was starting to maybe be like, huh, I made the connection to this person from the psalm that I was reading to my personal experience of envy and comparison and feeling inadequate, right? And then another friend sent me a podcast. And that's the one that totally brought me to my knees and brought all the pieces together because this podcast, the guest on the podcast was, again, talking to people of faith and talking to pastors and stuff, but talking about the pressure we feel to go and do big, amazing, impactful things and then to do them bigger and more amazing and more impactful as time goes on. And talking about how that's actually a recipe for a really unhealthy soul, and how doing small things or behind the scenes things and doing them faithfully and doing them over the course of years is actually a more joyful and contented way of living. And that a lot of the gifts that God gives us are really small things, like sharing a good conversation with a friend, like we're doing right now, or cuddling your kid on the sofa. Or, seeing a beautiful sunset. Like, if we are always feeling like in order to be good and happy, we need to be doing these amazing things, it actually steals our joy in the everyday things that we're actually meant to sustain good, solid, lasting joy from. And I heard that podcast, and all of a sudden it just hit me. It was like the piece. I don't know if there are parts in a movie, where you like see flashes from different scenes and the character finally puts all the pieces together and they get it. It felt like that for me. I'm like, wait, so this and this and this mean. And so the whisper was just like, you haven't fallen off the path. You are right where I want you to be. You haven't missed anything. You can trust me. I'm going to get you where you need to go. Your life is good in my eyes, and you are enough. And I just, oh my goodness. The impact that had on me in that moment, it was just so amazing. I feel like all of a sudden, it was like I was gifted this new perspective with which to see things. And also, all of a sudden, I had a way of thinking about things where it's okay if all these people do more than me, actually. It's okay. Like, I don't need to feel threatened by that because I am so loved just as I am. You know? It's okay if other people are more impressive than me, or whatever. Even if one of these people comes here and then, they take my job someday because they outperform me, like, that doesn't mean anything in terms of my value, my worth, my identity, or how loved I am, or how accepted I am. And when you have that at your core, the sense of this unshakable, unconditional love and acceptance, it changes everything. You know, I think it can even change the way we interact with other people when we're not constantly comparing ourselves to them. We
100%.
can interact with them in a way where we can be flowing out love onto them, and we're just content and relaxed and steady in ourselves. So, yeah. So that was a very recent whisper, but that was an important
That's
one
a
for me.
really important one. And I think when you said in there, like, it's okay if I'm not as impressive as other people. The thing is that there's no comparative impressiveness with God, right? I don't know if that's even a word. I've just made up that saying, comparative
I like it.
impressiveness.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
You should coin it if it's not
Because
already.
when you were saying it, I thought God It's not about impressing. It should not be. Do we think we're impressing other people? Are we impressive enough to ourselves? Is there that God is impressed by you because you love him? And God isn't really, I mean, I don't even know if God is impressible. Is that a word? I don't know if God can be impressed by us, you know, like, and I don't think that's a goal that he has for us. Yeah. I think about the fact that, God doesn't say, oh, that person's way more impressive than that person. Right. I don't, and that's just us. That's us putting weird, ucky, yucky junk on ourselves and allowing that comparisonitis to take over and infect our heart. Mm-hmm. Because,
yeah,
I mean, so what? I mean, not so what? That's great that some of these applicants are air quotes, impressive. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But God has you in the role that you have for a reason, and it is something that they don't have. Because you're the perfect person for this job at this time.
But you know what? Also, you're right about much of that. But even if I do have something, for me, sometimes in those moments, it's like, okay, when I talk to somebody and they're like, oh no, but you're really good. Like you actually have something they don't have. That to me, like brings, like I can hear that sometimes in a way that's like, okay, I can hang on to that. Like I actually do have something I'm better at than them.
Yeah.
What if I could just release that and be like, what if somebody comes here who is better than me at all the things that I think I'm good at?
Amazing.
And
right?
Like, what if just hypothetically, mm-hmm. there was somebody who literally everything I was good at, they were better than me at, I would still be okay.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
that's what I mean. Like I
would.
Yes. I don't think, I'm not saying that you're the perfect person for this job because you're impressive or your talents are at a certain level or higher than anybody else's. I just think you're the perfect person for this job right now because that's where God has placed you. And like, just trusting in that simple fact that is not about what you can and can't do talent-wise, but it's who you are as a human, is, I think, something that can be rested in, or you can rest in.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
That the place, I think a lot of times I think there are legitimately times in our life when it's good for us to move from one place to another,
yeah.
or to change the facts of our life.
Yeah.
But I wonder sometimes in our generation, if we don't too often slant the other way, where we don't find enough contentment in resting where we are and where we have been brought.
Yeah.
We always maybe feel the need to do more, be more, become more, change something about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, in pursuit of that sense of rightness and goodness.
Yep.
So I think for me in this season of my life, and you know, I'm a late 30s mom, and so I'm in a different season than maybe some of the people listening, but the message about stability and about contentment has been really helpful, that there can be real goodness in stability and in resting in the place where you have been and not always needing more.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good place
but
to come
But also at
to.
The same time, knowing I won't. Yeah. Yeah. That's been helpful.
Yeah. This is not the last lesson you're going to learn. As the 54-year-old woman who's almost 20 years ahead of you on this road. I mean, like I just in the last several months learned a very important thing that I had not discovered before. So, I mean, I think that's the beautiful thing about life is that, that we're open and curious to learning new things all the time and being open to them. And so, I mean, I think got many more years to come with whispers and all of that.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Good.
Thank you for sharing those stories. They're really special and they are very personal. So sharing them is a blessing to me and I'm sure to everybody who's listening. So I'm grateful for that. But I always end with these two questions. So the first one is there anything like right now that you are like wanting to hear the Holy Spirit whisper, like you have called it, or be guided to about? Is there something you're like, come on, I really need to know?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think it kind of piggybacks on some of what we were just talking about for me, about some of the messages that I've been believing my whole life about why I'm good, why I'm valuable, about needing to be a high performer and a good girl and not to let anybody down or get anything wrong. So those messages are still there for me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hoping to keep on pressing into the voice of love that that says something different. Mm-hmm. You know, the voice of love. That says, I love you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. You can rest. You don't need to be so driven all the time.
Yeah.
You can trust that I've got this and it's not all on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I want to take some of the weight and some of that pressure off of you.
Nice.
And you're loved apart from what you do. So that's the voice that I feel like I've been starting to hear more often mm-hmm. in the past season, but I'm hoping to learn to lean into and listen to that voice more.
Yeah. 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 I want to hear it more. Keep coming. Keep it
yes.
coming.
That's right. Help me start to believe it more, right? Because sometimes you hear it and you don't believe it too.
Yeah.
I think that's a really tragic thing sometimes is for me, sometimes like, oh, that's just wishful thinking. But the reality is actually this. Oh. And I do that as many times or more as I actually listen to and believe the voice. So, so learning to hear it and not just hear it, but really believe it and have it sink down into my heart.
Yeah. That's so important, Hannah. I've talked a lot here with guests about hearing it and acting on it. Because sometimes you hear it and you're like, I'm going to tune you out. Thank you. No, not right now. But we have not talked about that aspect of it up until this point. So I think that's really, really so important and critical is listening to it and believing it, believing the truth of what it is saying, which is so cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you doing these days to be kind to yourself and also to others? Mm. But to yourself is always the kicker. We don't usually do that very well.
Yeah. Okay. Here I have kind of a lighter answer and a more serious Great. Answer. So here's my lighter answer. You know how during the pandemic, everybody was always making jokes about not wearing real pants and stuff like that?
Yes.
Like wearing yoga pants or sweatpants or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't own any of those types of pants, so I just wore jeans all pandemic. Okay, but I love... but I was literally... I'm like, I don't know what all these people are talking about. I've been wearing pants.
Oh my God.
I love thrift store shopping, so I went to Goodwill like a couple months ago. And I found myself in the yoga pants section.
No.
And I found, I'm wearing these right now, these amazing like jogger sweatpants that are so soft. I'm like, I finally get it.
It was like,
where have you been all my life?
Hannah Busnick is like uncharted territory in Goodwill, entering an area that she'd never been
before. So... I am wearing comfortable pants. That's what I'm doing to be nice to myself.
That is the kindest thing I've heard yet. That is amazing to me. The fact that you had not known the joy of leggings, of yoga pants until the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Ah, the pandemic did do something good.
That's right.
There's your silver lining.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, so that's what I've been doing to kind of myself. Yeah. That's my lighter one. I guess my more serious one is I'm trying to keep because, you know, I always got to bring it back to serious. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
I am trying to keep better boundaries with my work right now. Yeah. So I have workaholic tendencies
mm-hmm.
Where even when I'm not at work, sometimes I think about work. It's on my brain. And then kind of the advent of the iPhone hasn't helped with that, because I'll oftentimes just feel like, I'm just going to check my work email, see if anything came in, you know, or I'm just going to, or something will ping. We use a messaging app, something will ping on the messaging app, and I'll just be like compulsively wanting to respond immediately, or, you know, fire an email back to that email immediately. So my husband always says, you work so much when you're not at work. And I never believed him. I'm like, no, I don't. I do not. But recently I felt kind of an invitation or a challenge to try to take those apps off my phone. So when I'm not at work, I actually can't work. So a couple weeks ago, I actually did that. And holy cow, have I become more aware of how much I was working when I was not at work. And that's been, I feel like it's a way, it's felt a little hard because it, I think it's kind of like almost this compulsion or addiction to work for me. But I also feel like it's helping me be kinder to myself, because that voice of drivenness inside that says, must produce, must get things done, must chalk off every item on the to-do list before you can rest. There's a counter voice that's coming in saying, it doesn't all need to get done today. You can rest before it's perfect. You can leave things half done or undone or imperfect, and you don't need to finish those before you deserve a chance to take a break and to rest, you know?
Until you deserve.
So, so I feel like it's been simultaneously hard, but also feels like this very kind thing that I've been able to do for myself to create a firmer boundary and grant myself rest and breaks before all the work is done.
That's so really beautiful and so smart. And I, that resonates with me quite a bit. I mean, the thought that I should just take some of those apps off my phone is really so wise. Cause I do the same thing, Hannah. Craig, my husband, will say, are you working? Like if we're watching some TV show at night or whatever, or we're watching a football game, and yet I'm looking at my phone and I'm like typing with my thumbs on my phone, he'll every once in a while say, are you working, or is that personal? And I'll have to catch myself like, oh, because I do the same thing. Like I see, I get a notification that a message has come across in the messaging app that we use. And then there's this thought in my head, like, okay, do I open it and look at it? Because then they'll know it's been seen. And then if they know it's been seen, I really should reply, but it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm not supposed to be working, you know?
They'll also know that I was working at 10 o'clock at night, right?
Right. Anyway, but I love
I've sent some emails at hours.
Then somebody's going to check if I've done the hours. Anyway, I love that you have been aware of yourself enough to work on that. I think that is, like you said, I think that is very kind to yourself. Love it.
Well, working on it.
Working on it. All right. So here's the deal. I just need to say this as we exit this lovely Zoom-ish like room and wrap up this episode is one thing you said today as you were talking about different things is that you said, you know, that you wanted to like make something of yourself, you know, after like the award in high school and the being famous and all of that. And as I'm, as you talked about that, I kept thinking this, that two thoughts. One is God made something of you just on the day he created you. Like, but Hannah, I see you making something of God all the time. And that's, to me, that's like, that's the kicker. That's the better piece. And that's just where like you and I, as two women of Christian faith who believe in God and rest in the saving grace of Jesus, like that's our goal, is to make more of him and less of ourselves. And I see you doing that all the time. And it's in the little, like you said, the small things, the behind the scenes, the regular, weekly, all that kind of stuff. You point people to Jesus all the time. You are making something of God, of himself, not of yourself. And so, like, I want to speak that. I want to say it, that I think you are, yes, you're making something of yourself, but you make more of God. And so I see that in you, and I'm blessed by it. I know many other people are,
Oh,
and
wow.
I want you to try to remember that on the days when you don't feel like you are enough. You are more than enough, and you are, because you are making, he is more than you.
That is absolutely beautiful, and you're making me weep, friend. So
Sorry.
thank you for those words.
You're
That
welcome.
might be a whisper right there. Again, whisper sometimes comes through other people, but
Yeah, sure
yeah,
does.
the reframing of that phrase. That's really powerful. Thank you so much for speaking that into me. I really appreciate
You're
that.
welcome. And I love you, and I'm thankful that you were here today with me.
So thankful to be here with you too, friend.
All right, folks, did I tell you or what? She's a pretty amazing human being. I love that she has learned to recognize the difference between voices, one being a critical one and one being gentle and tender, and being able to distinguish between the two. I hope that as you listen to Hannah today, it resonated with you, and that you also can have a takeaway where you are looking for and listening for those tender, gentle voices. I hope that our time with you blessed you. I'm so grateful that you listened to Hannah and I today. And that is it for today. So until next time, be kind to yourself and to others.